You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev and the 2017 Chevrolet Silverado. 0% financing for 84 months, plus up to 10 grand in price reductions. This is better than employee pricing and better than 20% of MSRP. Check it out only at Lakewood Chev. Big guest of the day, brought to you by Alberta Mortgage Funding. If you have equity in your home or other property, AMF can arrange financing for any purpose without checking credit, income, or employment. Apply online at albertafunding.com. Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Kevin, Oilers fans, always intrigued by young prospects. Stuart Skinner, of course, from the Lethbridge Hurricanes, from Edmonton, him and his family, pitched the shutout against the Jets rookies on Saturday and made a ton of saves in a situation where it's maybe a little bit sloppier, but he definitely looked pretty good. What do you think of your first impressions of him in this tournament?
First caveat is I did not get to watch start to finish, but okay. I did manage to tune in for a couple of good stretches and obviously saw the highlights and saw some of the highlight reel saves that, of course, everyone probably got a glimpse at because they were five alarmers. I think for the most part what you have to look at is the situation, the spotlight, the fact this is his first time, in that uniform, playing against them, maybe not other NHL players, but playing against another NHL team or another NHL uniform. And for a kid from that area, with all the extras that go into that, you just like that he handled the pressure. I've talked to you often over the past couple of years about, it's really easy for me to look at a technical game and say good, bad, indifferent. But between the ears, tougher to do. And so you look for indicators, signs along the road that will show you whether, this guy handles pressure well or handles big moments well. And, certainly you're going to look at Team Canada play, and there's been some ups and downs there. But I thought, in a pretty high-pressure environment with, like you said, not a lot of systems playing, not a lot of structure, the kind of things that goalies can struggle with in terms of making reads, I thought he played really well. And what you like if you're an Oilers fan is, for all the technical elements and signs that the Oilers saw in terms of positives for drafting him, the highlight reel saves were outside the box. He didn't get stuck in technique. He was willing to abandon it and kind of, go into that goalie 9-1-1 mentality where you just do whatever you can to make a save. And sometimes for big goaltenders, they have success at lower levels based largely on technique, and you want that to be a foundation of their game. But too often, increasingly for young goaltenders, that's all they've got. And some guys just, I don't want to say they don't have the ability to battle because you don't get to that level without some of it, but they may not all have that same ability to just kind of open the car doors, get out, and do whatever you can to make a save. And I thought we saw signs of that from Stuart Skinner, and I like that, even though some of those saves are ones where, you'd like him to beat the pass square up and make an easier save. His ability to go beyond that is something that I don't think you critique at this point. I think you see it as a positive if you're an Oilers fan.
Now, what do you make of young Demko for Vancouver? They obviously have a lot of excitement on him in the future. He didn't look great last year in the rookie tournament. He looks a little calmer so far this year.
Yeah, I don't. He didn't look good, frankly, or have a great first half in the American League. He got two respectable numbers based largely on a strong finish. I think he was sub 900, maybe even 893 range, if I recall and reading correctly. Prior to Christmas. And that's part of the adjustment. We talked about that before. You come out of college, it's a one-shot league. He was behind a good team. You can play somewhat aggressively because you don't have to worry about second and third opportunities. There's not as much east-west play, especially if you're behind a good team like he was. It's kind of coming at you. And that's an easier game to play. And so you knew, and we talked about it here in Vancouver, that there would be adjustments for him. And I think you look at him now in this prospect tournament compared to last year, and, again, has the ability to go outside the box and just the size and the reach, and especially with the legs and the width of the butterfly since the hip surgeries. He's got an impressive toolbox. But he's going to desperation mode far less often. He's far more efficient, controlled, like you said, and that just looks calmer. And that's, in addition to being a more efficient way of playing the position, it's that calmness that sometimes your teammates can feed off. And so his ability, again, in a tournament where there isn't a lot of structure and it can be like a bit of a fire drill in front of you, to not look like one himself is, you know, just a continued sign of that evolution that started last year not so well, but over the course of the season has really progressed. And you know, I would suggest to Canucks fans who, you know, are maybe getting, not impatient, but that might want to see him this year, that's only going to be in an emergency situation, that it is best served for him to spend at least one more full season in the American Hockey League. And kind of using Corey Schneider's roadmap, you know, as another guy who came out of Boston College and through the Canucks system, I'd argue that 3 years in the American Hockey League may even be ideal for Thatcher Demko. And obviously with the contract situations of Vancouver, with Markstrom for three more and Anders Nilsson signed for the next two, that's probably what the Canucks are thinking as well.
Okay. Now, lots of other things. An interesting story that you brought up recently. We've seen goalies go to Europe and then possibly come back. And a guy, Leland Irving, who was just signed by the Flyers because Stolarz is out. Now, I'm not sure the Flyers are going to use him here, but why do you think Irving might have more success this time around?
You know, it's funny. He's a guy who has been a late contract guy the past couple of years. And that late contract last year was just to get a spot in Europe. And it's kind of one of those things. He was a high pick, and you know, didn't have the success that the Flames saw for him when they made that pick, obviously. But I watched his game, and he got caught in that three-goalie rotation in the American Hockey League with Danny Taylor and Barry Brust, if you remember that, as the Flames organization when they were in Abbotsford, and it wasn't an ideal situation. But he made progressions in his game, and then he blew out. He too ended up having hip surgery and having major surgery, and that cost him a year. And when you get off the radar and you end up overseas, it's really easy to kind of forget about a guy. But this is, again, a guy who was never big but had the talent to be a first-round pick in the first place. And it's just kind of interesting to me. We've seen this trend where goalies will go over or come from Europe as late bloomers. And it's not as pronounced now, but we saw it, you know, and there were years where, you know, remember Nicholas Backstrom coming over in his 30s. You know, there was a run of goalies coming over where they were able to mature their games and develop their games in Europe, and they would come over on one-way contracts and actually push guys like Leland Irving out of jobs and into the American Hockey League. And it's interesting that sometimes I think guys get abandoned in the AHL, who I think of a Mike McKenna who signed as a third stringer in Dallas. I think he could probably be a backup goalie in the NHL now, but he's been in the American League for so long, that's how he's viewed. And I think Leland just fell off the, kind of right off the map for most NHL teams, and it took an injury for this opportunity in Philadelphia. But every time I saw him in the summer, there's a couple times I've been on the ice with him. He's been sort of working with or on the same sheet, alternating, sharing a net with James Reimer, Eddie Lack, Devin Dubnyk. That same sort of group that I've been out with Kelowna, he looks good. He looks really good. He looks like he's playing a, you know, we talked about it with Demko, a calmer, more controlled game, more efficient. He's obviously got the experience. He's a true pro. And I thought it was really interesting the day we spent with Carey Price this year, just kind of talking about different guys and talking about summer skates. And yeah, Carey's a guy who doesn't even get back onto the ice till August. So he eases his way back into it. But he made a comment that, you know, we were talking about Leyland's contract situation. And he said, you know, every time he comes back in August, he's the best goalie on the ice in August. And that's an ice that Carey is also a part of. So I'm not the only one that sees that development, that sees that progression in his career. And yet it's taken the injury to Stolarz for him to get another shot. Listen, they've got Ryan Elliott. They've got Michael Neuwirth, and they've got some other promising kids, and Stolarz will probably be back at some point this year. But this is an opportunity. If there's an injury above him, to be the most experienced guy in the organization, and, you know, again, summer play doesn't always translate to the real thing, and goalie drills don't always translate to great performances in the league. But this is a guy that for a couple of years now I've thought, could maybe help a team in this exact role as a number three who, if you need him to be called up and play some games, isn't going to hurt you and may just surprise you. And so I'm really curious to see what he does with this opportunity and whether what I've seen and like I said, what Carey Price has seen in the summers matches what he can do for the Flyers.
Kevin Whitley from Ingo Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Now, there's been a lot of talk, and this is kind of a new thing with goalies and which equipment they're using. I know Price is a CCM guy, was trying some Bauer after his contract expired, but likely sticks with them. Is there a significant difference in CCM to Bauer equipment for goalies and other ones?
There are differences in all the brands, don't want to compare apples to oranges. It really does kind of depend. Like for example, the newer Bauer equipment, which is you're seeing a real run on in the NHL. A lot of guys have switched over to that. High tech, new material, different skin, less friction on the ice, Jason. Like literally, so much less friction that when guys first put it on, they feel like they are sliding almost out of control. Like they have to push less to get there in the same amount of time. They're faster along the ice in it, on purpose, active, harder rebound. So there, technology changes, and Bauer's one that's been pushing sort of the leading edge of that. All these companies are making changes. CCM has a new skin that also has less resistance to sliding. But at the end of the day, for all the tech changes and all the upgrades and all the differences that each brand tries to come up with, a lot of it is personal feel. And some goalies like a softer pad that with more flex to it that connects tighter to their leg, so when they move their leg, the pad moves with it. Other goalies want a stiffer pad that they attach looser to their leg, so you can imagine as they move their leg, instead of the pad moving directly with it, it just kind of rotates around it, sort of staying loose and flush on the ice as they're moving. So there are so many personal preferences. And to me, what's interesting is there's also money involved. Bigger for higher end names. For guys who maybe don't have the same profile. Depending on the market you're in. I mean, even at the lower end, sometimes these deals can be worth $50,000 a year or more. So it's always interesting for me to see who decides to make switches, who decides to make a gear change, and sometimes whether it's based on money, whether it's, I have, my favorite one was Corey Schneider because he wears CCM gloves and Vaughn pads. And for years here in Vancouver, big Canadian market, obviously a guy people had tagged as a number one goalie of the future, and all the companies wanted him to wear their stuff. I remember once during the lockout, they were skating out at UBC, and they had to switch rinks. There was somebody else in, so they had to kind of give up their room during the lockout. Corey walked out of the rink with six different pairs of pads. All these companies wanted him in it, but he couldn't find one that felt as comfortable to him as a Vaughn. And the irony is, for him, he liked the softness of a Vaughn. And yes, that meant it broke down a little faster, but he almost counted on that breakdown. So where I might not like that pad for my kid at the age of 15 because he goes through it faster, the NHL guys don't care. They get multiple sets a year. And so he just couldn't make the change. And he always said to me, I will make more money stopping a lot of pucks as a mutt than I will ever make just because I'm wearing the same gear and getting paid to have matching fashion sense. So I would kind of look at those decisions. I do expect Carey to stay in CCM. I think there's a comfort level. They've basically built a line around him, for him, glove preferences, pad preferences, and obviously because he's Carey, decisions he makes with his equipment have a ripple effect. He moves the needle. Maybe Henrik Lundqvist is the only other guy that moves the needle as much as Carey Price. And I think he probably, learned some lessons about the importance, or he knows last year the importance of gear comfort. We saw him, we've talked about this. He switched the skates last year, and by November he felt not only was the sort of higher, further off the ice blade that he had switched to, but also the forward pitch of it wasn't just that he wasn't comfortable in it. It was affecting, he was feeling it in his knees, he was feeling it in his hips, and it was actually affecting his movement on the ice. He felt taller, so he got lower and wider in his stance, and that locked him in more, and he felt like his lateral side-to-side movements were more rigid, more restrained. And when you watch the video, they were less efficient. So, you know, it doesn't take much. And so it's an interesting time of year. We read a lot in the summer in the goalie world. All the blogs and everything are all over. This guy's wearing this, that guy's wearing this, and this guy's switching. I always grain of salt it till I see what happens when the season starts. Because I think for the most part, like Schneider, like Carey Price, guys come to realize that it's more important to feel comfortable and confident stopping pucks than it is to make a decision, especially one that might be based on finance.
Kev, we will have some preseason action starting next Monday. Should be fun. We'll have that to talk about and more. Appreciate it.
I am looking forward to it because I got to be honest, I'm running out of things to say about not watching hockey games. It'll be nice to see some for a change.
All right, Kev, appreciate it.
Okay.